This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's right. All right, let's get it going around the NFL here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. By the way, before we go around the NFL, I know I set it up and I was like, wait, hold on. Press pause. I hope you're still listening on the Odyssey app. This is the last weekend to get in on the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. So I hope, like, get in your last few entries.
It's coming down to the wire, man.
It is in
March. It's next week.
It runs through the 23rd, so it runs through Sunday, this contest. And all you got to do is listen to Sports Radio 610 or any Odyssey, any Sports Odyssey station for a minimum of 60 minutes. And you get that daily entry into it. Into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest, where if you win, you and three of your friends will be headed to Vegas to stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, which is a fantastic sports viewing place, and you'll be able to enjoy all the March hoops at the Stadium Swim, which is part of part of it. And then on top of that, the winners get $20,000 to help with their weekend in Vegas. So, man, make sure that you're listening on the Odyssey.
We need to win it here, man.
I really do, because it's a national contest. So anywhere in Odyssey could win it. But it'd make me so happy if it's somebody that's listening to Sports Radio 610 that comes away with it. So make sure that you get that in. I'm interested to see, like, are you going to maybe just put on the Odyssey app on the weekends? Get the last two entries in, man. Those might be the difference. You never know. All right. Around the NFL, where it looks like a Hall of Famer said he's going to walk away. And, I mean, I'm going ahead and saying that he's a Hall of Famer. Oh, you can tell
look
me
at those damn numbers. You need to get in there right now.
The Cowboys going to be in a tougher spot, even as 34-year-old Zach Martin, their right guard.
Not
Nick Martin. Much better than Nick Martin.
Man.
A lot better than Nick
even
Martin.
They shouldn't even be brothers.
With all due respect.
They shouldn't even be in the same sentence.
But yes, Zach Martin has opted to retire. He met with Jerry Jones yesterday in order to inform of the decision. He's a 9-time Pro Bowler in 11 years, and only Bob Lilly, Larry Allen, Mel Renfrow and Jason Witten have done that with the Cowboys.
Personally. And only Bob Lilly and I think Randy White have been 6-time All-Pro like him. 6-time All-Pro. Whew.
Yeah,
Hall
man.
Of Fame, baby.
He's tough. I know that somebody had asked me like last week if Zach Martin would be interesting if he, you know, if he had decided to continue playing. And I'm like, I don't know. I think the game might be gone.
Yeah.
And it feels like he might also be understanding that. Like, this game has been slipping in some ways over the last couple of years, which is understandable as you get a little bit older. And then also, I imagine you look around at the organization, you go, what kind of winning are they trying to do right now, right?
Yeah, what am I doing?
So,
do it kind of make y'all feel old at the age he retired?
He was 35 or 34.
34.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I'm older than that. And
34.
He retired at 34.
Yeah, his first career is done.
Man.
And if he really wants to, and if he could find a level of, like, you know, peace within himself and identity, he could probably be good for a lifetime.
I think, does he have coaching in him? You would know him better than I would.
That's a good question that I'm not certain that I have an answer to. I probably
coaching or media.
No, who knows?
Yeah.
Some people just a little more laid back, man.
He's a laid back dude. He's got good personality, though. Yeah. Like him and Mike Golick Jr., they played together at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And like they've got, I don't know that they would have, I would say they have similar posting and personalities. Mike Golick Jr. is a really wildly entertaining dude. Yeah. But like when they get going talking together, it's entertaining to listen to. I do wonder if maybe he finds some level of space. Like this is what I always love is when people in that played those positions that don't get a lot of love and that are kind of mystical or have a level of mysticism to us, the you know, the layman, when they get into spaces where they can talk to us about them. So maybe not like specifically media, but this new media that we're seeing, I would love like Zach Martin on like a podcast with another lineman where they chop up various.
I mean, Taylor Lewan did it.
Yeah. Like Taylor Lewan did. Yeah. I know that obviously Jason Kelsey has his various platforms that he's kind of doing. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in seeing it.
He'd probably dip his toe into that. Yeah. And then if he's really good, somebody, FanDuel or somebody going to throw him a bag for him to do some content.
Yeah, but regardless, that dude is going into the Hall of Fame. I think I saw discussions about whether or not he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I'm not certain on that.
Depends on the class.
It's not sexy enough, like an offensive line.
I mean, yeah, but it's weird because, like, offensive linemen at this level, they have almost an easier path to a first ballot than others because you mentioned the Pro Bowls. Six-time All-Pro, that's a lock. That's a lock.
Yeah, that's not even a question.
Yeah.
He's kind of split. I got to check what the All-Decades team for the 2010s was.
Yeah, and you kind of overlapped.
Right, because one of the things is if you end up on an All-Decade team,
you're in.
It's just go ahead and mark your books. And I mean, he's been one of the really, really good offensive linemen. He was one of those. He was a 2010 All-Decades team. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and book that. He's going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Like it's going to happen.
And plus, he's a Cowboy.
And he's a Cowboy.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
That's big important.
That always helps. All right, some other things around the NFL. The Texans have a full accounting. I think that many teams are doing it on this day. A full accounting of what the staff looks like.
Yeah, they've announced officially their coaching staff for 2025. D'Amico Ryans is head coach, in case you're wondering. Yeah, in case you're wondering.
Ooh, man.
Coordinators, Matt Burke, Nick Cayley, Frank Ross. There are some new names on here. Of course, Gerard Johnson is still quarterback's coach. Bill Lazor, still senior offensive assistant. Ben McDaniels, still offensive passing game coordinator. Cole Popovich, of course, got the
run game coordinator.
The run game coordinator and offensive line. But, of course, there are some new ones here, such as, Rod Wright has been here, but Frank Oakham, assistant defensive line coach.
Right, which we talked about a little bit. I think one of the ones that's interesting is seeing Jerry Schiplinski. We knew that he was going to be a senior offensive assistant. He comes in with Kaylee, but the idea that he is the pass game specialist in title, interested to see how that goes. But, yeah, officially, they're set up there with what their staff is going to be. And we're locked and loaded there, at least when it comes to coaching. And now all that's left is to build the team.
A lot of times when someone like Schiplinski, and was he, I forget his exact title. But anyway, when they give him these fancy titles, like senior offensive assistant, pass game specialist is Jerry Schiplinski. A lot of times that's so they can get them in the building.
Right. It's so that it is some level of
quote unquote promotion.
Yeah. He was the senior offensive assistant. He was a senior offensive assistant with the Rams last year. Mm-hmm. So I guess.
So senior makes him available, you know.
Well, he was also a senior before. So the pass game specialist might be what ends up being the thing that takes a step. Someone from the 713, if CJ took a step back, why is Gerard still here? I think it's abundantly clear that in CJ taking a step back, it was largely due to the circumstance rather than CJ himself.
I think most people would tell you that CJ actually did better than expected, given how much he was hit and running and how bad the offensive line was.
Yeah, of course, I will commend Texans commenter on Twitter, Garrett. He did a lot of work, a lot of the legwork to get into some of these stats and such on, you know, what caused the CJ Stroud, the toughness or whatever, particularly with the passing game last year, and what where you place blame if you can, like who's responsible for what things and to what degree when it came to all of the pressure that CJ Stroud faced last year. And I mean, ultimately, the 30,000 foot view takeaway is that Yeah, man, that's that was a lot of things outside of the purview of C.J. Stroud that he actually handled it incredibly well, especially for quarterbacks in this system in general. Mm-hmm. When it comes to pressures that are that they are responsible for, he actually did quite well in that regard in those
situations. And I think, you know, well, first of all, exactly what you said. There are people who think C.J. Stroud didn't take a step back; he just got beat up more, and it was actually more impressive the numbers that he did put up. But I think there's also this factor. Cole Popovich is still around with the offensive line. In fact, he got a promotion. That tells me that Cole Popovich, you know, actually was one of the guys that they were impressed with individually but didn't fit with Bobby Slowick. The same could be true with Gerard Johnson. Like they were impressed with how he handled C.J. Stroud and helped C.J. Stroud in these horrible circumstances. But it didn't, you know, maybe what Gerard was trying to preach didn't fit with Bobby Slowick. So much the same.
Yeah. And look, we'll ultimately see how that looks in this upcoming season. But it feels like there's that. And then, of course, one of the things that's obvious is the people business of this all. There's a good, very, very good relationship between Gerard Johnson as quarterback coach and C.J. Stroud as quarterback for a offensive coordinator that's coming in that also still needs to have some level of connection to the quarterback. So I imagine that that also plays some role in what we're talking about here. All right. Some other things around the NFL here. I mentioned the scouting combine. NFL scouting combine gets going for next week. Like, next week is when you will see, as I like to call it, the underwear Olympics. And for the longest time, for decades, in fact, it has been an institution in Indianapolis. Like, the Indianapolis prides itself on being a town that is great for conventions. I think it's one of the things that is its calling card. And the combine is, you know, no different. Teams descend upon it. Coaches, agents, media folks descend upon it, obviously, to see what the next generation of NFL players look like, but also to, you know, communicate amongst themselves or whatever. But it seems like the thing that might be holding Indy back in some ways as a host is that it's not really super profitable as a place for this. Like, I don't know how much a destination it is as a product, which I kind of hate that the NFL has constantly made all of their offseason things as we have to find a way to make them destinations. Like, one of the things that completely annoys me is that we have made a glorified HR meeting of sorts in the NFL draft into a destination type event.
There are some things. Okay, well, first of all, I think it probably is ultimately going to move. They want to make it more profitable and they make it more of a destination point. But me personally, there are some things about, especially the combine, but some things about the NFL, I don't want the bells and whistles. I don't want the, you know, some celebrity announcing that so-and-so is going to run the 40-yard dash next or something. You just want to see and hear about all these things. Coaches don't really pay that much attention to the actual combine. It's the interviews. It's the presence. But we do. I think ultimately they will move it, and because they're always trying to find, you know, more money. But I think it's kind of sad. I like the fact that it's still sort of old school. You know, still old school. Players come, coaches come, media comes, that's it.
Although you say coaches come, it seems like fewer coaches have been coming through. And, I mean, Nick Caserio, when he joined the fellas earlier this week on Payne and Pendergast, was talking about, you know, and they were talking with him about, you know, kind of the interviews. That's something that matters greatly to this front office in the Texans. That opportunity to meet with these players one-on-one, combine still represents one of the major opportunities to do that, because if you have all these guys collected, or so many of these guys collected in one place, it gives you the opportunity to do that. And it's on top of your top 30 visits that you can, where you can have players actually come in, and then kind of the hometown visits of, you know, the people around your area that either went to school here, around here, or are from here, or what have you. That is a huge thing. Also, medicals is a huge thing, but the actual workouts, the actual testing is falling in status. And I guess that's why they want to find more ways to make it interesting by moving it around and giving.
But do you really want it to kind of take on the persona of like a draft?
I don't. But I understand also like that.
But
team,
they want it.
That team building and I guess like amateur scouting aspect. Like we're seeing more and more people lean into that, and maybe that becomes appealing for certain subjects or a certain subset is the word I was looking for of NFL fans, to where it sells well enough to that it would be worthwhile to moving around and having it in different places rather than just Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis.
Yeah. The strength of Indianapolis, though, is what you said at the beginning. It's centrally located. It's easy to get around. They all stay at hotels, walking distance away.
Good for conventions.
That's what they do. Yeah.
This might just be like the NFL's like, hey, can we have another reason to go to Miami?
Yeah. Like, no, they want a spectacle. I don't need a spectacle on the combine.
Yeah. Nah, just leave it for the nerds, man.
Yes, leave it for the nerds.
Like, you ain't got the Debbie the Texan out there trying, get excited, man. Just leave it for the NFL nerds, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let us nerd out.
Yes.
Like, I actually feel like the thing that I appreciate more is them trying to make it into a TV product, which, again, I don't love that everything also has to be a TV product, but I understand that more. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's the combine as TV product. Here are all the workouts that are happening.
What it is, they trying to get more money.
Of course.
That's what it is.
They trying to get these more sponsors on board with it and make it more of a watchable thing. And we like to just tune in.
Yes.
Just tune in and check it out for our purposes to see who our team gonna draft or who looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said the draft should happen in the city with the first pick. Oh man, but
that would be wild.
But that's also really
short. It'd be in Cleveland every single year.
Planning purposes would be impossible.
Yeah, that'd be really tough. The planning.
Some
on
of
that.
These bad teams have it every single year, man.
It would be very, very, very tough.
Also, and we're going to Jacksonville again.
Back to Jacksonville.
I do wonder. Does that also make it so that you have local fans that are like, hey, we're here. And then as soon as the first pick goes or very soon thereafter, they're like, all right, we're out of here. Y'all enjoy the rest of this. But yes, somebody said
back in Carolina.
From the 8-2, didn't hear y'all mention anybody as offensive line coach. Are they going to bring Mike Munchak back or not? Sorry to dash your hopes. Mike Munchak, at least as far as we know, is not returning it. Cole Popovich is the offensive line coach. He was previously the assistant O-line coach. And yeah, he is going to take over as the big offensive line coach. For some reason, I refer to it as. Under Nick Caley as offensive coordinator. All right, that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I'm going to be honest. I'm flatly stealing right now. Painter Pendergast asked a very good question this morning. In fact, Sean Pendergast put up a Pender poll that accompanies this. Which Houston team wins the city's next championship? So 713-572-4610 on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Let's revisit that. Which Houston team do you believe will win the city's next championship? We'll discuss that next.
It's Taquerias around us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Does this meet the level for you, Lopez?
Absolutely
on a funky
does.
Is this enough funk for you?
It's in the neighborhood. It's getting there.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. This is a funky song, man.
You hear that?
No.
Yeah.
Said no. This is a funky song right here.
You know what I like.
I'd rather be with you.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. As you can tell, we're feeling good on this Friday. I hope you are feeling good as well. We got a few things coming up in the show just later. If you're watching on the Mokarem Injury Lawyer live streams, whether it's on YouTube or Twitch, you see that Lopez is wearing his Houston Dynamo kit. ahead of the Texas Derby this weekend. And ahead of that, we will be talking to Ben Olsen, the manager of your Houston Dynamo. Or I was like, do they have him?
Is it manager or head coach?
I was like, they might have him as head coach. I'm sorry.
They do, don't they? Yeah, it's usually manager. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. But
is this an MLS thing? Or
no, I feel like.
Or is it Dynamo?
I think it might be a Dynamo thing. I'll double check, though. Yeah. Either way. Maybe they are an answer that you'd like to throw in here. I think that Sean had really only focused on the major teams when he asked about your Houston city, Houston sports in this city, as I think it kind of came off of them looking at various power rankings around around MLB, the NBA, and the NFL, and seeming to find that all of the Houston teams kind of in that same neighborhood all the way around these leagues, and that kind of led them to ask, Which Houston team would be the next one to bring a championship to the city, or which one at least has the best chance? And I imagine like which one would be the next one is probably the way to go there.
Yeah.
But what for you jumps out here when you ask, when you look at that? Because yeah, it feels like you have a couple of ascending teams and one of the Astros that's trying to stave off or like trying to continue to extend a window of contention.
Yeah, look, it's unfair. It seems unfair to the Astros to consider anyone else. It really does. You know, I know the huge losses, you know, Bregman Tucker, you know, etc. But I mean, they've been there every year. They've been in the postseason every year.
Yeah.
So is it? Because I mine is not the Astros. And I feel
I thought you were saying it was the Astros.
No, it seems unfair to pick anyone but the Astros.
And I do
wonder, because of their track record, because they're still Altuve. Espada's in his second year. They got pitchers coming back. Even with like all these injuries last year, they still managed to get there. They made their post. They still have one of the best players on the planet in Yordan.
Yeah, that's the problem. Know, that is a problem.
They're still like, there are elements to this team where you're like, what are you doing? How can you not say the Astros? I'm not going to say the Astros. I feel like the margins get thinner and thinner every year, and they might be a little too thin this year.
Oh, okay.
You
look
know?
At you. Look at you adding a little bit of doubt in there. No, I think one of the things that helps is that you look at the division, and part of the reason why they're there, they remain there, is because that division has remained relatively winnable. Is this the year that the Rangers bounce back, or that the Mariners actually do the thing that we've been waiting on them to do for three, 4 years at this point?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this is the year when they put it together. They've got folks here, right? Is that a team that you're looking at? And it looks like one of the people on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, are going that way from the 832. They said, I'm going to say the Astros. Big money coming off the book soon, and you can add some upgrades in certain areas along with the young pitching. And that is fair. Like, you have found some really nice young pitching that you hope will continue to carry you through. Does Fromber remain is a question that I think is worth asking, because if you don't have Fromber, do you have an ace? Like, you might
Hunter Brown going to be that? Is he going to start taking those steps again?
Well, I don't know. How close do you think Hunter Brown is to being an ace? Because he's definitely capable of being like maybe a number one pitcher. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those distinctions that I think is necessary. Sometimes you have distinctions without a real difference. Mm-hmm. I think that one's necessary. Like an ace, like there's not 30 aces in Major League Baseball. There's 30 number one pitchers.
Sure.
But there's not 30 aces. And it's Fromber's capable of being that.
Start streaks, all that stuff.
Right. And so I do wonder what that looks like. But it is fair to acknowledge that, hey, this team has seemed a little cheap around the edges, but that's because they made some kind of rough deals that once they fall off, they'll have that money to expend again and hopefully be able to like add more juice to what you're doing to where in a season or two, like, not saying that you can't even find a level way to contend now, but in season two, you could find a refreshed and rejuvenated Astros team ready to go and contend at a high level.
And the guys they've added on the corners are not chumps, you know, in Walker and Paredes. It sounds like I'm talking myself into the Astros. I still feel that.
Yeah, that's not my answer, but I didn't want to give them their due.
I do, exactly, because like they're going to be in the mix. And you mentioned the division, which is a great point as well. That's a big part of it. I'm going to say the Texans. I understand, and we opened the show with, you know, is there anything that makes you think there might be a little...
Is there any possibilities of regression?
Regression, and there certainly were some good answers there. But because of their division, I feel like they're going to have, you know, the opportunity to kind of build their way into the postseason, get to the postseason, stay healthy, and I don't think the defense is going to regress that much. It might a little bit, just because that happens in the NFL. I think they're still going to be consistently good on defense, and I just cannot believe that C.J. Stroud is is the offensive line is going to be that big of an issue again.
Yeah, my answer would be the Texans as well. I think that, and to try and simplify it a little bit, I think they have answers to a few of the questions that you ask when you go, can this team be a Super Bowl championship? And one, that is having the quarterback. You have the quarterback. CJ Stroud had a rough season this year, don't get me wrong, but again, I think you can easily look and see the ways in which he was failed by others around him in a way that helps me make my case about, hey, quarterback wins not being something that is reasonable, right? Like, hey, we can't put this all on the quarterback because this is a team sport. In fact, a lot of people like calling it the ultimate team sports in some ways. And yeah, the offensive line being troubling and the play calling not being helpful in those ways, like they will stifle. But if he gives minimal support, CJ Stroud, we know, is a is a quarterback of a certain caliber where you go, yeah, you always have a shot with them. On top of that, they have a dominant unit.
Yeah.
They have a dominant, and you need a dominant unit.
Yeah.
And it seems like that pass rush will remain a dominant unit for
maybe
them.
Get better.
And so I think that those things lead me to the idea of, hey, you have a nice runway of doing things. Now, the thing that I think could easily you could combat with on the Texans, you go, all right, but what is the path through?
Exactly. I was actually going to add that. Go ahead, Figgy.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that's the reason why I don't have them winning championship first. But go ahead to your point.
Because I think the key element to the question here is which Houston team wins the city's next championship.
Right.
Not get to the finals, get to the World Series, or get to the Super Bowl. Win a championship. Keep in mind, I think the most vulnerable top-of-the-heap teams are probably in basketball. They're probably in basketball.
Fair.
You know, how good, how much longer can the Celtics be the Celtics? How much longer, you know, the Western Conference, you know, you got Lake, you know, all these teams are somewhat vulnerable.
Well, yeah, the Lakers just added to their runway, adding a generational type player
but
there.
But are they like.
The Thunder are continuing to build forward, so maybe you go there. I don't know. The Nuggets have the best player in the world in Jokic, but. There's a little bit of aging there.
There's vulnerability at the top of the NBA.
See, that's why my answer was going to be the Rockets. Because I felt like the Rockets got something cooking. Hell, they beat most of the best teams in the league this year. Now, I don't think they're going to get and win a championship this year, but I do think I think the sky's the ceiling for them. And if they could add that superstar player or somebody step up in a superstar role, like the NBA, it haven't been really a powerhouse in the NBA since, what, maybe the Warriors or something like that?
Right, they're vulnerable.
So I think I'm rolling with the Rockets. I think if you get that superstar player, Kevin Durant or Booker or something like that, I don't think it's crazy that they can win a championship.
Because the NFL, there are some teams at the top that you're like, oh, they're going to be around for a while.
See, that's why I didn't want to pick the Texans, because like, you still got to go through Patrick Mahomes, man.
And even baseball.
Even Josh Allen cannot get past Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think to that end, there's multiple people that agree with you. 832, Rockets with the right trade. From the 281, Jackson for Pearland. They say the Texans, although it depends on if the Rockets can get one more stud to solidify the roster. And I think that's all that everybody looks at that, because that is pretty much as outrightly stated as possible that is the Rockets' plan, is that, hey, you build with these guys, you have a lot of assets, and then when the iron is hot, you strike for the big ticket item that is necessary in the NBA to get over, which is that superstar player at the helm of it. And I feel like I reserve a little bit of that because you haven't quite done that, even though I know that you have the capital necessary and you have the appeal necessary to draw that player, because this is a team that is destination at this point. It's not one of those teams where you're like, you're going to have to really sell somebody on, do you want to play here? I think that there's the sell is there. This is a well-coached team, and there's a lot of young talent on this team. It's not like it's going to expire quickly, so the idea for a star, if they have that opening, to want to play here, I think is there. They still have to do that in order to get there.
Are we talking ourselves into the Astros being third on our collective lists? I have Texans first, Rockets second, because to your point, it's easier to add that final, I shouldn't say easier, but one piece can put you over the top in the NBA much more than in baseball or football. Much easier. So they add that one piece with the Rockets, and you're feeling pretty good, and as I mentioned, the top of the NBA is somewhat vulnerable. Baseball is not vulnerable at the top right now. I mean, the Astros are not in the same class. All due respect, we just talked about, you know, there are no chumps out there, and they've done it so many years in a row. But Dodgers, Phillies, you know, Braves, if you're talking about championship, not getting to the World Series, but championship, it's going to be tough. Yankees, you know, still.
Yeah, I think for me, that is probably where it lands. And if you lean on the Pender poll, acknowledging the particular biases that can happen with Sean Pendergast being like probably more of a Texans figure, if you were going to lean on one or the other, as opposed to just kind of some of the other ones and his followership on Twitter, then leaning in some ways. But it is outsized, the response that went to the Texans, 58%. As it's currently going. In fact, there's still 3 hours on the poll. So if you feel so strongly and you want to see the Rockets or Astros get more love, at Sean T. Pendergast on Twitter. But Texans getting 58% of that voting. Rockets 23% there, and then 19% to the Astros.
Dang. All they do is win.
What's crazy is I got the Rockets, Astros, and Texans.
Interesting.
And I got Texans, Rockets, Astros.
And yes. I can absolutely see what you're saying with the Texans, because the 713 paints a very fair picture. Been through Peyton Manning, been through Tom Brady, and now Mahomes is there, as long as he's breathing negative for the Texans. I think that's a
and
fair
that's the,
thing.
That's
to
the
look
only
at.
Reason why I got, because I feel like, I mean, if it was Josh Allen or some in the way, then I'm like, I think the Texans did beat Josh Allen before. So it's not crazy, but Mahomes is here for a long time, unless he do like a out of nowhere retirement or something. Like, he's there.
Right.
You got to get past him.
What's the trigger for each of these teams? We set up one of them for the Rockets, the trigger being if they get that superstar. What's the trigger for the other teams that you go, if this happens, then they absolutely have the best case? Because from the 936, they say Rockets if they had the right star. Texans if Nick Haley is the truth, which sort of seems to imply that it would happen next year. Because I think if Nick Haley is the truth, he's not long for this.
Yeah.
And then after, they said Astros, if Melton pans out and then the pitching stays healthy.
I don't know if I'd go, well, I like the first two with the Astros, Melton. I think if you get just anybody at second base, and that includes Melton perhaps, but anybody at second base playing at a higher level and not relying on Dubon, that makes it a big case.
Great point comes in late too here. Texas, because of the playoff format, and you actually have stars on both sides of the football. That's, I mean, look, man, the NFL playoffs, it could be a little chaotic. It can be a little bit of a random championship.
Any given Sunday.
It's tough, man. I mean, look at the Detroit Lions. Yeah. I know they went through injuries and stuff, but it's tough, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was such a very interesting question to ask. So shout out to Payne and Pendergast for bringing that one up. Let's get into what's popping next, including what a fantastic Four Nations final. Just wish it would have went another way. And let's salute the Area 45 anniversary party, where they'll be watching a little bit of boxing. We'll get you prepped for that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here on this Friday. It's going to be a full weekend. It's going to be a very full weekend of sports and activities and entertainment. So let's dive in. And I feel like I should look back first and salute what was a fantastic Four Nations tournament. Four Nations, what is it? You know what I mean. It was the hockey tournament that
they call
did.
It a tournament.
It was the Four Nations face-off, as I think was technically the name of it.
You watched, Figgy. Don't lie.
I mean, I didn't know the name of the tournament. Oh, okay. I just seen everybody watching hockey, so I'm like, all right, I'll check it out too.
Exactly. And it was a good time.
Yeah, nah, I'm salute.
It was a good time.
I just ain't know the name of the tournament.
went down to overtime. Okay. USA Canada. USA went up. Mm-hmm. Was it 2-0? Because
they were down 1-0, and then they tied it.
Okay, so
then
they were
up 2-1.
It was 2-1.
Canada tied it.
And I saw that Canada, like, the tying goal, and I saw it as it was developing. Fantastic pass, and I was like, oh, man, here it comes. Boom, tied up. That would be the score at the end of regulation. And then they went to overtime, and in overtime, of course, none other than Connor McDavid. It had to be him, like, the best player in NHL.
Here, Sidney Crosby.
Sidney Crosby at one point.
I'm saying because of his brand and his legend, but McDavid,
Who? We still calling him the kid 15 years into this?
No.
Sid the Kid, we're still calling him the Kid?
Can't do that.
Fantastic player, but it made sense that was the way that it went. It kind of stinks because the U.S. was really looking to break a long streak of these games in, like, the international tournaments and, like, that final type of situation. Nope. Canada got it done in overtime to once again defeat the U.S. This rousing success, right?
Oh, my gosh. Not only was it extremely entertaining, I think it sort of changes the landscape for every league. Now,
I don't think it does.
The NFL is not.
I think we're doing the thing where something successful, and now we have to make it into everything.
Is this better than the NFL? Yes,
we're doing that thing.
Yes, it is. I don't think the NFL is going to be able to do that. I think basketball is already sort of tinkering with the idea. People are talking about it, and I think it would be great. I'll have a confession that's related to this in about a half hour. But I think absolutely. If you're not doing this, you're leaving money on the table. If you're not thinking about it, you're leaving money on the table.
I mean, you can think about it, sure. I just don't know that it's actually going to land in the same ways that we think it does. But it does seem like this Four Nations tournament, it seems like NHL is considering doing this more consistently and having these kind of international tournaments at their All-Star break. Because they too had some issues with, you know, kind of their All-Star game formats. And this,
they had skills garbage and all that other stuff.
Wow, skills garbage. Damn. They had All-Star Games type things. They've done
the
draft.
They also had the skill.
They've done the draft. They did the mini tournament that we saw this year in the NBA. They did that before as well. Mm-hmm. But this worked out very well. You had the nations and all the patriotism that comes with that flowing through. And it ended up being really fun hockey as well, which really reminded me of just also playoff hockey as well.
And sometimes, I know it's not fun to hear, Figgy, you kind of bristled when I said this earlier, but sometimes you just got to say what it is. Canada is still our daddy when it comes to hockey.
Wait,
ain't my dad.
Did he just say you got to acknowledge that it is what it is?
No, I didn't say it is what it is.
You basically did. You didn't say exactly that word. No, you said you have to acknowledge
exactly
what it is.
No, it is not.
And it is what it
is.
We got him, boys.
No, you did not.
We got him. Run the tape back. I need the tape.
If I said it is what it is, I'd be copping out. I said, they're still our daddy.
No, if you said it is what it is, we will understand what it is.
That's right, because it is what it is.
No, I wouldn't have said anything.
No, we would have understood
it.
Run a tape. Run a tape. 713-572-4610. Y'all listening. Y'all heard him say it, right?
If he would have said it is what it is, I would have knew exactly what he was talking about.
But
like, you don't even have to explain it, because they always beat us. It is what it is. That's how it goes.
Which, the 832, someone texting in is tired. They are sick of it. Mm-hmm. They said 10 times their population we had, and we can't find better talent. Nah, it's a lot of talent. Just stay there.
Hey, try some basketball, though.
They're closing
on basketball. Shea,
I know they got SGA,
Dylan Brooks, Wiggins, RJ Barrett. That's all fine and good.
Oh, that's cool, but we got a little more than that, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm just talking to Canada.
Okay.
I ain't talking to nobody else. We ain't got to go over to France.
France got whooped too.
Yeah.
Y'all can come whole list as well. All right, so yeah, that happened. That was really fun. This full weekend of really fun sports that's coming along, including. Crown Jewel is what we're calling it? I can't recall stealing the wrestling event that happens in Saudi. Regardless, there's going to be one of the best cards. In fact, it might be referred to as the card of the century in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It is a mega card, and the big draw is the rematch of Better Biev Bivol, which is happening there, but you will also be able to watch that with Area 45 out of Katy, home run dugout in Katy. Mm-hmm. I am going to try and make it out there. Well, I will make it out there. I'm trying to do a Texas three-step in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go to Houston, Iowa State at the Fertitta Center. I believe that one tips off at 1.
Okay.
And that's a huge game. College Game Day is going to be there. In fact, we'll talk to Eddie Nunez, the athletic director of U of H, later in the program about that. So that tips off at 1. From there, I want to make it out to Home Run dugout on Katy. Well, they're going to be starting at noon. They're going noon to 6 for the entirety of this card, where there's so many really good fights on it. There's the light heavyweight fight that's obviously at the top of it. There's a heavyweight fight in there. Virgil Ortiz is fighting one of my favorite boxers. All sorts of fun fights that are happening throughout this card, and you can watch with them. And then after, I want to make it out to Shell Energy Stadium to watch the team whose jersey you're wearing right this moment, Houston Dynamo, in the Texas Derby versus FC Dallas.
Now that sounds like a day right there.
There is all sorts of fun stuff.
We call that double dipping, man.
Triple dipping.
I can make it happen. Like, I am really concerned about.
You got to make it happen. And you got to document this, too.
True. I do got to find a way to document this properly.
Yeah, just do a little Instagram story like, hey, I'm here. I'm starting off. I'm in the first place. And then I'll be headed to here.
Yeah,
you got to do it all, man.
It'll go really smooth if I leave Iowa State Houston early, but that's a game that I want to see all the way to the finish, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to see if I can make that happen. But make sure you go to the anniversary party for Area 45, Home Run Dugout, Katy, 12 to 6. The three-time world lightweight champion, or I think it's light heavyweight champ, Juan Baby Bull Diaz.
Mm-hmm. He'll be there.
He'll be hanging out as well. Yeah. Plus $10 margarita flights. Mm-hmm. So a great time. I think we have confirmed. I think T-Mill is going to make it out there. I'll make it out there later. There's some other folks that'll make it out. Obviously, you'll have Bajani and PC, Patrick Creighton out there. You're going to go out there too? Oh, yeah.
I got a thing in the morning, and I'll probably be out there right before you get there or as you're getting there. So I'm a little perfect. Early afternoon action.
So, yeah, man, hang out, man. That's going to be really fun.
By the way, bring your rain jacket to the Dynamo. Go! It's going to be a hell of a game.
But I had not even thought about that.
It's going to be a little wet. Mm. At least that's what the forecast is.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Look at the sloppy soccer. I ain't heard nobody.
Ain't nothing wrong. Yeah,
especially in a rivalry. Yeah.
Did you see Messi, you know, 7-degree temperature playing soccer the other day?
I bet. Look, man, that Apple money and the Adidas money and all that, I'm sure it's great. Because I'm sure he's like, what am I doing here?
It warms you up real quick.
He used to play in Spain.
Yeah.
Some other things that are popping, obviously all of these sports, I mentioned all of them, right? Like Iowa State, UH, that is a huge game of top 25 opponents, two top teams, I think, atop the Big 12. That's going to be a huge one. It's one of, I think, two really important matchups that Houston has down the stretch. It's this one, and then I believe it's either Monday or Tuesday now I'm thinking about it. Of course, I've forgotten the day as I'm going to say it, where they face off against Texas Tech in Lubbock. But this is going to be a huge one at home on Saturday that they need to win. And then I mentioned the soccer match. We mentioned the boxing. What else has happened this week? Oh, yeah. Astros get their baseball going with Grapefruit League baseball. Split squad games tomorrow, and then another one on Sunday, and we're off and running.
And Rob Manfred switched to music.
That's right. That's where I wanted to go next. Thank
Rob
you,
Manfred
sir, for
switched to
up.
Music, Figgy. I'm listening to music.
Oh, yeah. Man. This is huge because the
MLB. This is really big.
MLB and ESPN, and I believe this to actually really be mutually, are mutually terminating their deal after this upcoming 2025 season. And MLB has basically said, according to a league memo from Rob Manfred, that basically they have not been pleased with the lack of coverage, or what he termed as, quote, minimal coverage that MLB has received on ESPN's platforms over the past several
years.
Talk
more baseball.
Outside of live
game coverage. Rob Manfred's calling the ESPN office. Talk more baseball. You know, baseball season's on.
That's it. I'm switching to music.
But I mean, I think he has a point
here. No, he has a great point.
I think he has a really...
No, he's right.
Yeah. ESPN really has. Yeah. And I really think it coincided with when they brought back hockey, where... They moved to, hey, we are going to talk more about this. Because that's part of like having the TV partnership. For the TV organization, you have these live events, but you can also pump them up yourself by talking about them. That's why you saw on ESPN, all of a sudden, we're talking about hockey a lot more than they had previously been when hockey was exclusively over there with NBC or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of WNBA talk.
Lot of them.
Yeah. A lot of women's college basketball talk.
See, that's why I feel like you say it might legitimately be mutual. I think baseball, MLB sort of initiated this?
No, I'd initiated this particular thing. I would say that ESPN, I mean, look.
No, this is how I'd put it.
They killed off baseball tonight, dog. Baseball tonight.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
This particular breakup, MLB initiated it, but ESPN didn't mind. Is how I would put it.
No, that's fair.
ESPN didn't mind at all because they have been giving up some time to taking away time from baseball. And I was going to say, I think you can kind of point to the end of baseball tonight was the start of this gradual thing. My bigger point for MLB is I don't think it's going to be as good as they do.
I'm actually in a place where I think it's fine.
Well,
they do have national deals. Obviously, they have the Apple TV deal. There's On with Turner, where you see them on TNT and TBS, really more TBS, I think. And then they have that Peacock deal, and I believe they also have the Roku deal. Like, they're really embracing streaming for their national
They are,
star.
And we've talked about how streaming is where all the sports are ultimately going to go, but I still think you underestimate...
Oh, and the Fox deal that they have,
as much as ESPN, I think we can all agree, has slid, and certainly talent level and some of the coverage that they have, they've slid backwards. It's still ESPN.
Yeah, they're still a tastemaker.
It's still on... If it's on ESPN, it elevates.
But here's the thing. Know? I agree with you on that point, but I think that the appeal of ESPN is that not only do they have the coverage, but then they talk about you. Mm-hmm. Your people see you on SportsCenter, and it becomes, they're still tastemakers. They still have some level of gatekeeping on these are the things that are important in sports. And if they're not doing that with which they have not, like mm-hmm. that is where Manfred is 100% right, that they have had less of that type of coverage comparatively. Hell, we were talking just yesterday about how First Take, and this is a long time running, they don't talk about baseball. They talk about basketball. They talk about football. And
right, I mean, which is why Manfred was mad.
But yeah, but so that's part of the appeal to ESPN. Right. It's not just, hey, the game is on ESPN Sunday night. That doesn't do much. It's all of the pushing of it mm-hmm. because we talk about it during the week and set the expectation for our viewership that this is something that's important.
Yeah, because if we paying all this money just to air the game, I could do that somewhere else. I could put that into Tubi or something.
But it's still ESPN. They have made sports, like they have truly made sports more popular. And if they get behind it, if they somehow could have stayed on ESPN and figured out a way to make, you know, some sort of baseball tonight, some sort of something, they would have been better off.
Well, also ESPN was already trying to ask for a lower rights fee. They're trying to lower their rights fee. So I think that this all just in a situation.
You know who's thrilled? WNBA, man. And college baseball. WNBA's got to be thrilled with this.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, but I feel like it's been a finite resource, the ESPN attention, and they've already kind of, split that up. I don't know that baseball is really giving up that much by stepping out after the season because ESPN has already not really prioritized them.
Yeah, it seems like they kind of fine with it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm interested because it feels like baseball might be leaning back into a place where it previously been, where baseball is a largely regional sport, which I do think it's still best as a regional sport. And I think that that's one of the places where we're still pretty good having Space City Home mm-hmm. Network and being able to see all your games if you have that access. But there you go. That's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And I see you, 832, saying, you're not doing Rockets home game tonight? I wanted to, but I actually have someone coming to town that I need to hang out with, so that takes me away from actively being at the game. But I will be watching that game, in part because Jabari back, baby.
Yeah.
Jabari Smith Jr. is set to go in this game tonight. Fred VanVleet is out, though. We're still seeing when he returns. So let's talk a little bit about that. But more importantly, when Fred VanVleet returns as well, what's the starting lineup for this Rockets team? Let's have that conversation. 713-572-4610. We discuss it next.